So today we continue the sermon series we started last week, The Gospel According to the Lion King. And this week we will focus on remember who you are. And we're beginning in Paul's letter to the Colossians. You'll find Colossians near the back of your Bible, or feel free to open up your electronic devices and Google Colossians, or go to that Bible app and open it up. You're going to need it today. And go to Colossians. Colossians is kind of a confusing and interesting letter. It's to a church, an early gathering of people who are confused about why they exist. Say that again. They've gotten this thing twisted. See, they did not have an encounter with Jesus. This is one of those communities that heard about Jesus and heard about the good news of Jesus, but they didn't sit at the feet of Jesus, and now they're hearing things from other people, and they're getting confused about who they are and what they're supposed to be doing and what the gospel of Jesus Christ actually is. You see, they're letting hearsay get involved. And they're letting bad theology get involved. And they're letting politics get involved. And they're letting me-ology get involved. And they're letting capitalism get involved. And they're letting bad practices get involved. But you know, I'm just messing now. So let's turn to Colossians chapter 1, beginning in the first verse, and we'll start. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. This letter is from Paul, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus, and from our brother Timothy. We are writing to God's holy people in the city of Colossae, who are faithful brothers and sisters in Christ. May God our Father give you grace and peace. We always pray for you, and we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. For we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all of God's people, which come from your confident hope of what God has reserved for you in heaven. You have had this expectation ever since you first heard the truth of the good news. This same good news that came to you is going out all over the world. It is bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives, just as it changed your lives from the day you first heard and understood the truth about God's wonderful grace. You learned about the good news from Epaphras, our beloved co-worker. He is Christ's faithful servant, and he is helping us on your behalf. He has told us about the love for others that the Holy Spirit has given you. So we have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while, you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. We also pray that you will be strengthened with all his glorious power, so you will have all the endurance and patience you need. May you be filled with joy, always thanking the Father. He has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light. For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, here we are to worship. Here we are to bow down. Here we are to say that you are indeed our worthy and our loving God. So blow a fresh wind and a fresh fire through this place, O God. Finish right, exit, remove anything that seeks to get in the way of your word this morning, O God. For we have come seeking a word from you, seeking restoration from you, seeking transformation from you, seeking blessing from you. So have your way, O God. And hide this your servant behind that old rugged cross, so that everything that is said and everything that is heard comes straight from you, O God. This is your servant's prayer. In the name of Jesus the Christ, we pray. Amen. So here we are getting in the middle of the African safari, ready to go on a new adventure today. But before we go and get in our ride so we can see which animals we're going to see today, we need to make sure we have what we need. So let's go through our bag for today and make sure we have our supplies, Pastor Walter. Let's see. Got my trusty dusty safari hat. Check. Water. Remember how hot it is out there? Atlanta doesn't have anything on African safari. Critical. Don't need that. Who put a ball in my bag? Definitely don't need weights. Jesus told us something about putting down all the things that weigh us down, right? So we're going to leave these at home. We don't need that. All right. Les, I remembered our camera today, so I'm ready to join you in taking some really good pictures on our journey today. We'll hang our camera up here. And my stepfather, my opa, he always said, he said, don't leave home without a good walking stick, or, you know, you might need to bop something or somebody upside the head every now and then. And you know, Rafiki, the monkey and the Lion King, he has some on the end of his stick to rattle off some things. So I think we'll take this stick with us. By the way, Opa handmade this stick for me. He always wanted it in my car just in case I needed some extra protection. Yeah, I think you think that's what we need for today, maybe? Oh, we forgot our guide map. We'll need that. You see, Paul is writing to the people who are on a journey. And he's writing to the people who are on a journey, even maybe a safari, because the people of God have a tendency to lose their way. Because we've heard the good news. We've heard the story. We've learned it in Sunday school and small groups and from our grandparents and our ancestors. It's been passed down and passed along. But because we didn't have the firsthand experience of sitting at the feet of Jesus, sometimes it gets lost. And sometimes we get it twisted. And sometimes we don't like the way that it comes out, so we interject our own stuff into the story. We interject what makes us comfortable into God's good news, and we make it the way we want it to be so that we can feel good about our behavior, about how we're acting, and about what we are doing. The people of the church in Colossians had gotten into this thing called Gnosticism. It's a big church word, Gnosticism. It starts with a G, G-N-O-S-T-I-S-M. Look it up, Gnosticism. What it means is that you start pulling your own stuff, your own belief, your own practices from other kinds of religions and other kinds of ways of living, and you try to make that what Jesus said. But that's not the way this thing works. And so Paul has to write to the Colossians, the church at Colossians, a very young church, but a good word for the church of God today. He has to write to them, and he starts with a good pastoral word, Pastor Walter. He says to them, "We pray for you." He doesn't start with, "You hard-headed knuckleheads." That's where I like to start, Dr. Bob. But he starts with, "Dear brothers and sisters, you beautiful people of God, we pray for you." We give thanks for you. Because we know you have faith. We know you mean well. We know you're doing your best to love the people. And it comes from a confident hope that you have. But dang it, you're just not getting it right. He says you're trying. You have the best intentions. But the GPS said go straight, and you veered off to the left. He said the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, what Jesus taught us, what Jesus said, what Jesus said. What Jesus said, what Jesus said, what Jesus showed us, what Jesus Christ taught us, what Jesus Christ died for, what Jesus Christ was resurrected for, that word is bearing fruit and is literally transforming lives. But what you're doing, we haven't stopped praying for you. Maybe I can make it clear in another way. Jesus said, love the people. Some kind of twisted faith we have says, lock them in cages. Jesus said, welcome the stranger. Somewhere along the line, we messed up and got something from somewhere in our faith that says, raid the people, lock them up, and carry them out of here today. Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. All across this planet, we are exercising slavery and racism and sexism and all kinds of isms. And Paul is writing to the church at Colossians and saying, don't get it messed up. Don't get it twisted. Your way is not Christ's way. And it is the good news of Jesus Christ that is bearing fruit. It is the good news of Jesus Christ that is transforming lives. You don't get to change the story. Remember who you are. In The Lion King, we talked about last week that the evil uncle, I can't even remember his name right now, Scar. Scar decided that he just couldn't wait to be king. Even though that, remember that Paul reminded us in Galatians that we're to stay in our lane, right? We're to pay attention to the good work that God has called us to and not worry about what God has called anybody else to. But Scar decided that he just can't wait to be king. Even though that was Simba's job. Simba the lion cub. Y'all remember Simba? And he killed King Mufasa. And he convinced Simba that it was his fault. And so Simba ran away into the African plain. He ran away from home. He ran away. He escaped. And he did everything he could to escape from who he was created to be. He did everything he could to not remember who he is. He did everything he could to forget who he is. He was raised by a hog. Y'all, come on. Who comes up with this stuff? And yet the essence of who Simba was created to be was still in him. It didn't matter the detour he took in life. It didn't matter who raised him. It didn't matter what he did. He couldn't escape who he was created to be. Simba could not escape his genes. Simba could not escape the purpose that God had on his life. Simba could not escape why he was in this world. And one day, his little friend Nala, because things got so bad back home, Nala had to go find out how to fix some things. Anybody had a girl in their life who just had to figure out how to fix some things? Because sometimes, need my little stick here. Nala went looking for food because there was no more food at home. And Nala ran into Puma. Thought that was food. That was Simba's friend who raised him. And here comes Simba gonna rescue his friend. And they look in each other's eyes. I know you from somewhere. I know you from somewhere. Have you ever come up on somebody, you've never seen them before a day in your life, and somehow deep down in your soul, I know you. Rafiki, the village sage, happened to be a crazy monkey. Anybody have somebody in their family who's like the crazy aunt, but they're the wisest person in the world? That's Rafiki, okay? Rafiki presented the king, Simba, when he was born to the nation. And Rafiki comes back knowing that Simba is alive and knows that it is time for Simba to come home and to remember who he is and to live out his purpose in the world. Rafiki grabs his walking stick. Simba, come home. Simba alive. Everything all right. Simba. He said everything but hallelujah. Full-grown Simba runs into Rafiki. And Rafiki starts talking to Simba like he knows him. Simba says, "Do I know you?" Rafiki says, "Yes." Simba says, "Oh, you knew my father." Rafiki says, "Correction, I know your father." Simba says, "Oh, you don't know, my father's been dead for a long time." Rafiki says, "Stupid boy, your father is very much alive." Simba looks up, very much confused. And Rafiki says, "Follow me." In church language, we would sing, "Take me to the water. Take me to the water. Take me to the water to be baptized." Pastor Walter, can you bring Simba over here for me, please? Rafiki takes Simba to the water. He takes his stick and he knocks Simba over the head. And he says, "Look here, look here." And he puts his stick in the water and he puts some of the water on Simba. And he says, "What do you see?" Simba sees his father in him. And he hears the ancestors say, "Remember who you are. Remember who you are." That's the whole point of this scripture. Paul is telling the people of God, what is your problem? Don't you know who you are? You don't need to add any other seasoning to this thing called Jesus. Don't add any more stories to Jesus' good news. It's enough all by itself. And don't you know who you are? You are the recipients of this good news. You are the children of God. You are the siblings of Christ. You are the bearers of this water. Remember who you are. In 2008, I came here to be the associate pastor. I was straight out of seminary. I've been in a lot of churches because my mom and dad are both United Methodist pastors. I eat, sleep, breathe church. I mean, that's what I do, right? But I have to tell you, in love and as the shepherd of this church now, that in 2008, in my first church council meeting here, was the very first time I learned that the people of faith could have something called a scarcity mentality. That fear could rule so-called people of faith. It rocked me. It rocked me to my core. I didn't know it. I never encountered it before. Because I came from people, Pastor Walter, who were survivors. I came from people who survived slavery. I came from people who survived migration. I came from people who survived immigration. I came from people who were driven from their land to survive the Trail of Tears. I came from people who knew that God would make a way out of no way. I came from people that if we didn't have it, we knew that God was going to provide it. I came from people that trusted God no matter what. I didn't know anything about scarcity. All I knew was abundance. And not because we had a lot, but because God was more than enough. That is the good news of Jesus Christ. Well, what about homelessness, Pastor? We only have homelessness because we are selfish. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the unfiltered, unadulterated, unmessed with, unwatered down, unpoliticized, unmade comfortable, unmeized. Yeah, I made that up. Gospel of Jesus Christ is radically inclusive, radically loving, radically sharing, radically generous, radically covering. It expects that we share. It expects that we understand that everything is a gift from God. It expects that we maximize maximize God's resources. It expects that everybody loves one another with such a generosity that we love each other better than we love ourselves. The gospel of Jesus Christ before we mess with it. Take me to the water. So that we can remember who we are. So that our fear and our scarcity is turned into expectation and abundance. So that our protectionism is turned into joy. So that what we see in front of us is nothing more than... Stupid boy, don't you know your father is yet alive? For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sin. So here's the invitation this morning. Remember who you are. Remember who you are individually and corporately. And if you're not made out of the same stuff that I'm made out of, fine. Find somebody who is and let them overflow into you so that you can remember that you are made up of the family of God and that Jesus Christ has the last word over you. And because the Holy Spirit reigns, there is nothing that can hold you back. When they counted us out, they said we were going to close the doors. We didn't have enough money. That was in 2008. What year is it now? He said we're going to be here. The invitation today is to shed fear, is to shed scarcity, is to shed whatever somebody told you you could not do, and to remember that the one that created you has said that there is nothing that is impossible with God. And has said that he has given you, has traded with you light for darkness, joy for fear. They don't believe me this morning. So the altar rail is open this morning. It's open for you to put down whatever you need to put down so that you can remember who you are and what you come from, so that you can move forward as free and transformed people. And the altar rail is open this morning if you would like to join this church. And the altar rail is open this morning. If you would like to make a first-time commitment to this Jesus Christ who can set you free, don't wait. Don't wait. Don't miss this opportunity. You have two choices. Simba, you can run away or hide. Or Simba, you can remember who you are. It's your choice. God is at work. Won't you come?